going. This morning we'll talk about keeping score. We'll talk about how we tend to keep score when things are going well, and we talk about how we tend to keep score when things are not going well. And the danger is we can think too highly of ourselves, or we can think too little of ourselves, but really the danger is just thinking too much about ourselves. And the more we tend to think about ourselves, the less we'll think about God and other people. So we'll talk about keeping score for ourselves. We'll also talk about keeping score for other people. And we'll talk about keeping track of the points of how your loved ones are doing, or the people you're working with or you're living around, how keeping track of whether you're doing more, or you're contributing more, or they're contributing more. We'll talk about keeping score this morning. Then we'll talk about Yodia and Syndicky. Do you guys remember Yodia and Syndicky? They looked a lot like Chanel and Deidre. Remember that? Some of you were here that week. Many of you were here. Many of you weren't. And we'll talk about how they, these two godly, mature women, Yodia and Syndicky, could not get along. And something happened between them that caused them to just say, we're not going to do this anymore. And we'll talk about why they need to get along, Yodia and Syndicky. Then we'll come back to the middle, back to the center, and say, here's why we as Christians are different than the world around us. This is what makes us uniquely Christian. Not some generic nice, but uniquely Christian, as we close out the book. So here we are in Philippians chapter 4, verse 21. I'm sorry. Before we get to chapter 4, verse 21, we'll start in 1:1. So if you have your Bible open to 4:21, hold your finger there. I want you to show you the bookends of the book here. So Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints. Now, when you and I hear that, we tend to think of these people that are a lot different from us, these saints. What Paul means is the people of God, the holy people of God there in Philippi, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi. That's how he begins the book. Now, watch how he closes the book then, if you turn back to Philippians chapter 4, verse 21. Greet every saint. See, what he wants them to remember as he's closing out the book, as he's finishing this letter, he wants them to remember that they are saints. And they are saints because they are in Christ Jesus. As he begins the book, he tells them, you are saints because you are in Christ Jesus. As he closes the book, he tells them, you are saints. You are God's holy people because you are in Christ Jesus. He wants that ringing in their ears in the beginning and at the end. Now, let's talk about why. Because when you and I hear this, we could be thinking, well, of course I'm a saint because I do lots and lots of good things, and we could become very proud. Or we could be thinking, well, there's no way I'm a saint because I've done lots and lots of bad things. Paul would say to you, if he's sitting across the table from you, he'd say, no, you're thinking too much about yourself and not enough about Jesus. If you're thinking, well, of course I'm a saint, you're thinking too much about yourself. If you're thinking, I could never be a saint, you're thinking too much about yourself. So we have to come back and look at what Paul has written about this. You can see why I'm saying this. So Philippians chapter 3, Paul is talking about keeping score for himself, keeping score for others. The idea of, well, if anybody's going to make it, he's going to say, it's going to be me. And he's going to say, and that would be wrong. So here we are in Philippians chapter 3, verse 2. Look out for the dogs. All right, stop just a second there. Look out for the dogs. Were there a bunch of wild canines running around? No. Paul is talking about false teachers. Which is interesting because when we come over and we're talking about how we need to get along with people. I just want to qualify this and say Paul didn't get along with everybody. I mean, there are people that Paul really didn't get along with. There are people that he called names. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the dogs. Look out for those evildoers. These are false teachers. Look out for those who would mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reasons for the flesh, I have more. Okay, now here's how to listen to this. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, if anybody can say, I'm a saint because I've done lots and lots and lots of good things, and my pile of good things is bigger than your pile of good things, so God must like me better. If there's anybody that can say that, it's Paul. And here's his list of reasons why. He's going to start with hereditary, and then he's going to work towards this is the stuff he's done. Verse 5, circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. See, here's what he's saying. He's saying, I have this giant pile of good deeds that the world would consider good. I have a bigger pile than any of the rest of you, he's saying. But what I have to do in order to receive the righteousness of God and become part of God's holy people is I have to count that as loss and look at it as rubbish because that would distract me from keeping my attention on the righteousness that God has given me in the person of Christ Jesus. So the more I think about how I went to church all my life, or the more I think about how I serve the poor, or the more I think about how I still attend church, or the more I think about the percentage that I give, or the more I think about how I'm faithful to my wife, or the more I think about all these things that I could pile up, or you could pile up, and all these things we could say, well, you know, I'm a good person. Because he says, the more you think about that, the less you're able to rejoice in the Lord and the righteousness that he has given you. What you must focus on is Christ and the righteousness that you have in him. So he would encourage us to not just forget the bad things we've done, the times we've tipped the scale in the wrong direction because we've sinned. He'd also encourage us to forget the good things we've done so that we can focus on Christ. That's what verse 9 says. As we pick it up here in verse 9, and be found in him. Remember, that's pretty important to Paul, that word in him, those two words, in him. This is where he's, greet every saint in Christ Jesus, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. What Paul wants them to own in the beginning of the letter as he calls them saints in Christ Jesus, at the end of the letter when he calls them saints in Christ Jesus, what he wants them to have for sure when they're done with this letter is that they are saints because they have the righteousness of Christ. That Jesus' righteousness is bigger and better and stronger than all the bad things they've done. And Jesus' righteousness makes obsolete the good things they've done. He wants them to know they are saints. He wants them to stop keeping track of all the good thing they've done. And he wants them to forget about the bad thing the bad things they've done and just rejoice in the Lord and his justification of them and how he has made them right with himself. this would free you, and it would free me from walking around whether or not I'm good enough. You walking around whether or not you will ever measure up. The good news is Christ measures up. And if you have this righteousness which comes through faith, you measure up because Christ measures up and you are in Christ. It would also free you from wondering whether or not they measure up. And keeping track of whether or not they measure up. And keeping track of the good things they do or the bad things they do and keeping score for them. It would free you from that because you would say whether or not they believe in God is something that God will keep track of. Whether or not God has imputed them his righteousness. Whether or not God has given them his right with Godness that they can have through believing in Christ. That's up to God. And you can leave that between them and God. And you can just look at them and see them as saints because they are in Christ Jesus. You can stop keeping score for you and you can stop keeping score for them. Because after all, if you believe in Christ, you are saints. You are God's holy, set apart, washed in the blood, given the righteousness of Christ. You are his people. And when he sees you, he doesn't see the bad things you've done. He doesn't see the good things you've done. He sees the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So Paul says, greet every saint. I think the idea is you and I would see each other in town, like I'd see Sam, and I'd say, Sam, welcome, brother. You are a saint. You are part of the holy people of God, Sam, because you are in Christ Jesus. He'd want you thinking of each other as saints. As you think of yourself as a saint because you are in Christ Jesus. Because you have and because they have the righteousness of God. So, Paul ends the letter, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. Then he says, the brothers who are with me greet you. Now this is a theme that Paul has come back to again and again and again and again. Talking about them as part of the family of God. Thinking of yourself as, I am a member of God's family. And thinking of them, other people in the church, as members of God's family. Now here he's saying, look, you know, he is probably in a prison in Rome. There's other people that would say he's in prison somewhere else. But we do know he's in prison because he talks about his chains. You know, he's chained to the imperial guard. So we know he's in prison, but it's debatable as to where. So he's saying the brothers, the other Christians that are with me in my chains, they're greeting you as well. But greet each other as brothers. Greet each other as family in Christ Jesus, eternal family in Christ Jesus. This is a theme, of course, that Paul covered throughout the book, like I say, but most specifically and directly in Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Let me read that to you. Therefore, he says, my brothers, and I know that what he means when he says brothers is brothers and sisters. I know that he means everybody. The Apostle Paul wrote, believe it or not, before all the gender-inclusive language and the emphasis on that. So when he writes brothers, he means brothers and sisters. He is being gender-inclusive in his mind when he's writing this because he's writing this about two women, Euodia and Syntyche. So chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, and really what he wants, you'll see in just a second, is he's trying to model for them. He wants Euodia and he wants Syntyche to love and long for each other. He says, I love and long for you, and what I really want, we'll find out, is what I want is for you to love and long for each other. My joy and my crown. He He wants them to think of themselves as, these are two women who really can't get along, who can't agree. He wants them to think of them as each other's joy and crown, like that's the way he thinks of them. Stand firm thus. What are those next three words? Oh, you have your Bibles open to that. What are those next three words? In the Lord. That word in is so important to Paul. In the Lord. Just like greet every saint in Christ Jesus. My beloved. And the NIV had dear friends. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree. What are those next three words? In the Lord. Again and again and again. Paul will come back to that because Jesus is Lord. He is your Lord and he is her Lord. He is your Lord and he is his Lord. Agree. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women. I mean, these are women who are strong, godly women who just can't agree or won't agree. So they quit on the relationship for some reason. And now they need a third party to intervene. This is why he says, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. I mean, you're going to heaven together. Learn to agree in the Lord. Learn to figure it out in the Lord. Because Jesus is your Lord and Jesus is her Lord. Figure it out. Find a way to agree. What he wants is them to stand firm and live worthily of the gospel. He wants them to sit down face to face with each other and find a way to agree. Because Jesus is Lord. Now, as I pointed out earlier in chapter 3, verse 2, you can't do this with everyone. Wolves in sheep's clothing, you can't sit down with and find a way to agree. False teachers, people who refuse to repent, people who continue to try to hurt you and continue to try to hurt you and continue to try to manipulate and hurt you. There are people that you can't, after all, agree with. This is part of what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 18, how you'll sit down and try to agree with them, and if they continue to refuse to repent and continue to insist on living in sin, then you go and get someone else, and then there's two chairs, and you're both trying to help them repent. And then if they still won't repent, then you get the church, and you bring it before the church, and if they still won't repent, then then there's distance between you, and you can't embrace someone who's trying to kill you. But for godly, mature believers, Paul would write, find a way to agree in the Lord. Find a way. Because, after all, you are brothers. Because, after all, you are sisters. Because, after all, we are eternally family. And your name and my name is written in the book of life. And so we must agree. We must find a way to figure it out and come to an agreement. So first, Paul writes to them, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. He wants them to remember that they are holy. Look, as you go back to school, some of you are going back to school, some of you are not going back to school. Some of you are past that, right? As you go back to school, as you go back to work, as you go to college, remember you are holy. Remember God has set you apart to himself as part of his holy people and live a holy life. Sometimes we think of ourselves first and we think of ourselves most as sinners. Well, I'm just a sinner. You know, of course I'm going to sin. I'm a sinner. What else do sinners do? They sin. And we think of ourselves as sinners. And And I think the reason that is so powerful is because it's so true. We are sinners. But the fact that you're a sinner is not the gospel. That's the bad news. That's not the good news. The good news is you are forgiven. The good news is you have died to those sins and you have been raised to newness of life and now you are part of the holy people of God. So don't think of yourself first and most of a sinner. Think of yourself as, I used to be a sinner, now I'm a saint. Remember, you are saints. Remember, we are eternally family. So think of yourselves as part of the family. Think of yourselves as a brother or a sister. Think of yourselves as part of the family of God. And think of them as part of the family of God. Think of them as brothers and sisters in Christ. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus and the brothers who are with me. Now Paul will step back and call them saints. Remind them they are saints one more time. And this time he'll put a twist on it. He says, greet all the saints, or all the saints greet you. Especially those of Caesar's household. Why would he say that? I think we should go back and look at chapter 1. Verse 13. Well, let's start in verse 12. Let's read the whole sentence. Chapter 1, verse 12. And I just want to try to get this in your memory as best I can before we leave the book. Remember when we did this, I had the words, what has happened, up on the screen. And I had one of Wes's huge, I don't know if they were logging chains or what they were, but it was this big, terrible, rusty chain. And I talked about what has happened to you, and let's look at what has happened to Paul. Verse 12, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. So here are these elite soldiers chained to Paul. And eventually it has to come up. So why are you here? And they start to wonder who's chained to who. And so Paul can close the letter. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. Now, he closes with this. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. This is why we are the way we are. This is who we are in Christ. This is the bottom line for us. We are people of grace because we have received grace. This is it. This has been the center of the letter the entire time. And I just want to leave this with you one more time as we leave the book. So Philippians chapter 2. Verse 1, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, because of grace, if there is any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind. This is our emphasis on unity. The unity has been a constant theme as we've gone through the book. Have the same love, being of full accord and of one mind. He really wants them unified. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility, it's been a constant theme throughout the book, it's been on the slide, count others more significant than yourselves. In other words, give them grace. Count others as more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests. Man, this is so hard. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This has been the story of grace that Paul has told them time and time and time and time again throughout the book. It's what he's referred back, it's what he referred forward to, and then it's what he referred back to. How God himself, in the person of Jesus, came, joined us in our mess, lived in perfect obedience to the Father, even as that obedience meant pouring his life out for you, pouring his life out for me, as he died a servant's death, even on a cross. He's saying, this is what Jesus did for you. And the constant theme throughout the letter then has been, then show each other this same kind of grace. Pour your lives out for each other. This is why he says, do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit, but count each other as more significant than yourselves, looking not to your own interests, like Jesus didn't look to his own interests, but looking to the interests of others. So as Jesus poured himself out for you, so you pour yourselves out for each other, because after all, the grace of the Lord Jesus is with you, is in you, and you are people of grace. After all, that's what defines us, is we are people who have received grace. We are not saints because we have figured out how to try hard enough. We are saints because we have received grace. We are part of the family, not because we figured out how to earn our way in or because we bring something valuable to the table, but we are part of the family because we have received grace. This is what we must remember, that we have received grace. And this helps us not just think about ourselves all day long, or not just think about their shortcomings or their what they're doing wrong or what they're doing right all day long, but we think about grace and how we have received grace. Maybe one of you needs to receive grace. Maybe one of you is ready to stop keeping score. Maybe one of you is ready to stop looking back, stop trying to tip the scales in the right direction. Maybe one of you is just ready to receive the righteousness of Christ. Receive grace. Maybe one of you is ready to stop thinking of yourself as this individual isolated and alone, but is ready to become part of the family of God. Receive grace. Then, give grace. Give them grace. Instead of constantly keeping score, give them grace, like God has given you grace. Instead of constantly trying to figure out who's right and who's wrong, give them grace, like you have received grace. I think this is the people you want to be. I know this is the kind of church that we are and that we're becoming more of. A church that knows that we are part of the people of God only because of God's grace. That God's grace is bigger and stronger and better than all of our sin. And so we don't try to think of ourselves as better than everybody else. We think of Jesus as better than all of our sin. We think of Jesus as bigger and stronger than the good things we've done and bigger and stronger than the bad things we've done. We think of Christ and we see other people through the lens of Christ. This is the kind of church we are, where you can come and know that you are in Christ. We don't think of each other as enemies. We think of each other as brothers and sisters in Christ because we have received grace. And they have received grace. So we are brothers and sisters of Christ. Give and receive grace as you rejoice in the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time we can spend in your word. And Lord, I pray most of all, as we close this time in Philippians, that you would not close out your time with us, but that you would continue to remind us of your truth and change our lives to reflect that of Christ Jesus. For after all, you brought us to faith. You gave us your Spirit. You gave us your word. So continue to do your good work in us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.